Think back to a night when you were little. Did you ever lay awake in bed, looking around your room, straining to see through the darkness? And just as you expected, there, from the darkest corner of your room, was a pair of eyes staring back at you. It didn't matter that when you cried out for your mom, she comforted you by turning the lights on and thus scaring the creature away. You knew, deep down in the pit of your stomach, that when the lights went out, something malicious was waiting for you to fall asleep. Good evening and welcome to Small Town Shadows. I'm your host, Victoria, and I am here to weave you a tale that is sure to send shivers down your spine. As always, the below account is based on real events. However, the names and locations have been changed to protect the privacy of those involved. Please keep in mind that these narratives are not for the faint of heart and may frighten or disturb you. But now, before you get too comfortable, you should go turn off your lights. It's time to relax, clear your mind, and sip some tea as I take you to the small town of Barcelos, Portugal. Thomas was enjoying his afternoon just like any seven-year-old child would. He was outside with his three neighborhood friends, playing tag, throwing a ball around, and imagining up a world where they were fighting dragons and scaling monstrous fortresses. His mother was watching them all from her kitchen window, and if they got too far from sight, she would holler for them to come home. Thomas and his friends never wanted their playtime to end, so more often than not, they'd wander off, ignoring the mother's call. And today was no different. Thomas's mother called for dinner just as the sun began to set. But it wasn't until she yelled for the third time did all the children march home. As the family sat for dinner, Inez informed her husband that Thomas, yet again, ignored her request to come home. Davy, Thomas's father, scolded the young boy, explaining the importance of listening and obeying, as well as the amount of worry him roaming too far from home causes them. Thomas apologized and promised to never do it again, all the while holding his fingers crossed behind his back. A few days later, Inez called out for Thomas to return home for supper, and once again, Thomas and his friends ignored her. Inez mentioned it to Davy, and they decided it was time to warn Thomas of the real danger he faced by staying out past dusk. "You see, all little children are in grave peril if they stay out past sundown, for tiny creatures roam the nearby forests and love to feast on the disobedient." Thomas laughed and rolled his eyes at his father. Inez and Davy exchanged worried glances and tried to explain that it wasn't just a story. But Thomas refused to believe them and went to bed thinking it would be a great story to tell his friends tomorrow. Exactly how Thomas predicted, his friends enjoyed the story by pretending to be scared of every leaf that danced past them. They then decided that today, when Thomas's mother would call them inside, they would intentionally ignore her until the sun had completely set. Just as expected, Inez called for the children to return home, as she always did. She called and called again, but the children ignored her. Finally, just before sundown, Inez, Davy, and the other parents in the neighborhood went out looking for their children. They found them sitting perfectly still in the grass, facing the forest. They weren't blinking, and they seemed to be holding their breath. Inez quickly crouched down to Thomas's eye level and shook him violently. The four children burst out laughing, pointing at their parents' face of shock and fear, as if nothing in the world were funnier. All of them were quickly dragged to their respective homes, certainly in for a world of hurt. If only Inez or another parent took the time to calmly assess their surroundings, maybe someone would have spotted the tiny footprints in the dirt leading up to the children. Or then again, maybe not. For the sun had gone down completely, and the footprints were awfully tiny. This episode of Small Town Shadows is sponsored by Deerling Blends, a delicious, all-organic, sustainable tea brand that gives back to charity with every purchase. It tastes more than feel good. Check out their website to find old favorites and fun new teas. And now back to Portugal. Thomas had a difficult time sleeping that night. His punishment was a good spanking and no dinner. He was angry that he had gotten in trouble. He was angry that he wasn't allowed to just have fun with his friends. And most of all, he felt an overwhelming twinge of guilt for how upset he made his parents. Eventually, he drifted off to a restless sleep, tossing and turning, imagining a scary monster who was covered in leaves chasing him. The next day, Thomas went outside to meet his friends, only to find two of them waiting for him. They unspokenly decided that the events from the night before hadn't happened, and that their missing friend wasn't still being punished, but in fact, just helping make dinner or something that kept him home for that day. The three children played for hours near the forest, but they felt uneasy about getting too close. Before the sun even began to set, before Inez called them all home, the three children decided to call it a day. As they walked past the last edges of the forest, Thomas noticed a small clay figurine tossed aside beneath one of the trees. He knelt to pick it up, thinking it would make a nice gift for his mom as an apology. That night, during dinner, one of the neighborhood parents came to the door. Thomas hadn't seen which one, but when his father returned to the table, he asked him about his friend Marco. Thomas told his father that Marco hadn't come out to play that day, and he shrugged, saying he probably stayed in his room, hiding from his parents because of the trouble he had gotten in. After dinner, Inez kissed Thomas on his head, thanked him for the little clay figurine, and sent him to bed. That night, even though his guilt was lessened ever so slightly, Thomas was revisited by the leaf-covered monster nightmare, and he awoke in a cold sweat from it. The next morning, he went outside to meet his friends again, and hoped Marco would join. However, once outside, he noticed only one of his friends was there, Root. She mentioned how Marco's parents came to her house looking for Marco last night. The two children decided to go to Marco's house and look for him in his favorite hiding spots. While Root and Thomas were in the crawl space beneath Marco's bedroom, they heard a knock at the door. Marco's mother answered the door and was greeted by Carmo's mother, asking if she had seen him. She denied it and explained that she also hadn't seen her own son all day. The two worried women compared notes on what they knew of their children's whereabouts, and Marco's mom put Carmo's mother in contact with the police officer on Marco's case. All the while, Root and Thomas lay perfectly still, eavesdropping. The two children then came up with an idea. What if Marco and Carmo were in the forest? What if they were so angry at their parents for punishing them the other night that they decided to go deep into the forest and give their parents a real scare? Well, it worked, if that was their goal. So Root and Thomas decided they would go into the forest, find their friends, and tell them that their plan worked. Then they could all return home and put this entire mess behind them. It wasn't long until sundown, but Root and Thomas were on a mission and weren't paying attention to the time of day. As they traipsed through the woods, looking this way and that, calling out their friends' names, the sun set. Neither child heard Inez calling to come home. Neither child seemed to notice how cold it had gotten, or how difficult it was to see by this time of night, this deep in the forest. After what felt like hours to Root and Thomas, they decided it would be better to start searching for Marco and Carmo in the morning. And once home, the two children were yet again in trouble. Thomas laid in bed crying that night, angry at his parents for punishing him again, angry at his friends for punishing their parents, and angry at himself for not finding them yet. He tossed and turned, trying to think of where in the forest might his friends have hidden. Wouldn't they be cold by now? Wouldn't they be hungry? Wouldn't they be tired? Before he could come up with excuses to brush these questions out of his mind, a loud crash came from the kitchen. Thomas's eyes snapped open, and he turned to look at his bedroom door. He thought he could hear one of his parents moving in the hallway. They must have broken something. Suddenly, he heard his door begin to slowly creak open. He instantly closed his eyes and began breathing more deeply in hopes to fool his mom or dad into thinking he was asleep. His breathing deep and rhythmic. His chest moving up and down, Then, before Thomas had time to react, someone forced a gag of leaves into his mouth. The next day would dawn and bring with it every parent's worst nightmare. Thomas was gone. Root was gone. And curiously enough, the small clay figurine from the kitchen table was gone. Do you believe in small, goblin-like creatures who kidnap disobedient children only to drag them deep into the forest and devour them? Do you believe that if you find a small clay figurine beneath a tree, you best not pick it up, because it's really just a gnomish demon in disguise? Do you believe in El Duende? I'd love to hear what you think. Tell me your thoughts, theories, and experiences in the comments section below. And be sure to subscribe so that you can be properly spooked every Friday night. And on that note, sleep tight. And don't forget to check under your bed for any lurking guests.